So in turn, what you get as a woman, if you're able to master that emotional regularity, what you get is a partner that's willing and open to love you, listen to your emotions, grow together, and then they will do it too naturally.
For years, I struggled with toxic relationships and understanding my own emotions. I found myself repeating the same cycles with different people and living in victimhood. I am Maria, your host, and I specialize in self-mastery coaching. I've spent the last few years working with various therapists in order to heal my own traumas and help others. This podcast is your dedicated resource for gaining emotional intelligence, nurturing self-awareness, and cultivating healthy relationships. If you're prepared to master your emotions, improve your relationships, and create captivating self-confidence, then this podcast is for you. Thank you for listening, and welcome to this week's episode.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. We're on week 3 of the Love series, and as you could tell by the title, we will be talking about communicating your needs, desires, and triggers. And so if you listen to part 1 and part 2, we've talked about releasing the past, learning the lessons, not staying in shame and guilt. Then we went through attachment styles to see which ones you guys fall into and which you relate to. And so now that we've gained some awareness, and now that we have more emotional awareness as well to where we fall in the spectrum of all these things and what maybe parts of us we want to heal and evolve and grow in, I want us to learn to communicate this in relationships. And this is something that I consciously do every single day and whenever things come up in my relationship, because it does not come natural to me. If we grew up in scenarios, especially if you're Hispanic or Latin like me, emotions weren't appreciated or accepted. They weren't really even acknowledged. It was like, why are you crying? I'm gonna give you something to cry about. Don't do this, don't do that, go over there. If there was any emotion, it was just like shunned down. And it was very much normal to scream and yell and be reactive with our emotions instead of just like sitting with them and understanding them and acknowledging them. And so if you grew up in this type of environment, it's not going to be innate or natural for us to want to express our emotions or communicate our feelings or be vulnerable or let people know about our desires, especially if we were like made fun of growing up or if we had some trauma around that, or if we have ever, even to a partner, discussed maybe ideas and goals and dreams that we had and our partner shut us down. All these things are going to make us not want to communicate. But if you listen to part 1, if we want something better, if we want something more beautiful than we've ever had before, we have to do things differently. And communication in a relationship is so important. And I know you've heard so many people say this, relationship coaches, people on Instagram, anyone that talks about relationships, is say communication is important, which it is. But also understanding is important, and it's just as important as communication. Being open to understanding one another. And I don't know that it's really easy to understand the other person if we don't first understand ourselves. And we won't always be 100% healed or understand ourselves fully or have emotional awareness every single time or communicate things perfectly. But it's in those imperfect times and when we are triggered and when things come up that we have the responsibility to look within and ask ourselves, how can I do this better? And so let's just dive in. I'm probably going to be all over the place with this because I don't think there is just one way to communicate our feelings, our emotions, our needs, our desires, our triggers in our relationships, because they come up while we're feeling those emotions. And so when we're in emotional states, we usually have blind spots, and unless we're able to sit with them and have enough emotional regularity to be able to understand our emotions first and then voice them out of a place of feeling really grounded, we're usually going to say things the wrong way or not even really understand ourselves. So I guess let's start with that. How can we understand ourselves better when we're feeling an emotion? If we're feeling any sort of emotion, whether they're great emotions or maybe not so great emotions. I think all emotions are beautiful, but you know, there's emotions like anger or jealousy or fear or things that feel really heavy that it's harder for us to communicate because these already are such confusing feelings. If we're feeling fear or things or anger comes up, there's usually an underlying reason and it's deeper than whatever it is that we're seeing. So in those times, right? So if they are in those times, it's so important for us to really sit with it and ask ourselves, what is this emotion here to teach me? If your boyfriend, husband, partner, whoever made you angry or did something to anger you, I hate to use the words, they made me angry. Like, no one can make you feel emotions. Your emotions are yours for you to own, and somebody can invoke these emotions in you, but it's your responsibility to figure out what they are and why they're there. So let's say your partner did something and it made you angry. It's so important to sit. It's in those times where you have to sit with yourself and say, why am I angry at this? Am I angry at the actual thing that happened? Or is there some underlying reason? Has this happened before? Has this been a pattern or a behavior that I've maybe never spoke up about and now it just bubbled up and it came to surface? Is this triggering a past trauma of a way that I was treated in the past by somebody? Is this from my childhood? Is this kind of reflecting something that my mom or my dad did and it really hurt me back then and it still hurts me now? And so when those quote unquote not so great emotions come up, having enough self-awareness to be like, well, okay, this is what it is. The emotion's not bad or good. And you allow yourself, give yourself that acknowledgement of I'm allowing myself to feel this. Give yourself the opportunity to feel it. Because like I said, if you grew up in an environment where emotions weren't really talked about or felt or understood, or they were instead avoided and people were reactive towards your emotions, no one had that empathy or compassion towards you for those emotions. So it's so important to give that to ourselves now. And then ask yourself, what is it here to teach me? And so now if I get angry at something, I will go down the rabbit hole. Okay, like, where is this coming from? And this is a practice, right? Like, I'm still not great at it. I'm still, like, so hard for me to tell my partner my desires, my needs, my wants, and communicate my triggers, or if I'm feeling fear, because there's still a part of me that thinks, well, he's not going to get it. He's going to reject me. He's going to say, why am I being this way? Why, you know, there's parts of me that still believes that there's not going to be understanding and empathy on the other side. So it's a practice. You have to consistently practice it. And the more you do it, the better at it you'll get. And the more it'll come natural, right? And after you've been able to sit with it and understand what it is, if it's still weighing like heavy in your heart, sometimes you're able to process them by yourself. And it's something that you just needed maybe to go through and heal on your own. But if it's important in the relationship, and what I mean by important in the relationship, if it happens again, it's going to cause some stress in the relationship, or if this is a way that you really just don't enjoy feeling and there's something that you'd rather do about it, because if you feel like this again, you don't know that if in your body you'll be able to hold it, your nervous system got dysregulated, you felt nervous, you felt anxious, you felt stressed, you felt depressed. If it caused any of these like big emotions, it's important for you to communicate it in a relationship. Because what happens when we don't is that the other person inevitably is going to trigger you in some way, shape, or form, and sometimes in the same ways that have already occurred in the past. And then all of the emotions that you didn't communicate are going to come up. And that person, you're going to explode on that person, or you're going to be reactive. And that person's not going to ever know that it did not come from that one specific instance. And that has been a trail of things that have happened in your energetic body, in your nervous system. Especially when it comes to men. Men are not emotional creatures. I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face. Men are not here to lead us with emotions. We're here to lead us with emotions and lead the relationship with emotions. And so when we're able to come to them very grounded and ask them if we're able to express ourselves in a time that's good for them as well, I've also recognized that we have to be conscious of the other person and their state of mind and being. Because we've been feeling a certain way, because we've been sitting this with some feeling or emotion for hours or days, doesn't mean that when you're ready to talk about it, it's the right time for the relationship. Your husband, boyfriend, partner can be having a rough day or be juggling 300 things in the middle of their work day. I mean, I've called my boyfriend and I'm like, hey, I have this heavy emotion. I just need to talk about it because I'm, of course, like my masculine energy came out when I was like, I need to just let this out and talk about it because I have something to do. You have something to do. We have a busy day and I just have to let it out. And I've gotten better at that. But I was just happy with myself that at that point, I even said what I needed to say versus holding it in. And so even in that interaction, I'm like, okay, even though it felt good, we had a great conversation. I was like, how could I do this better? Don't wait till things are bad to learn ways to make things better and communicate more ideally. So again, because you're feeling a certain way doesn't mean that it's the right time. Asking your partner if you can come to them with something heavy that's on your mind, an emotion that you're feeling, is important, because then they're able to say, yeah, I can hold this for you, or no, you know what, can we do this later on today? I'm a little distracted right now. Men are able to focus on like one thing at a time. They're not able to see things as vast and interconnected as we do. Even if some men are really good and in touch with their emotions, they're still like limited in their capacity in that sense, just like we're limited in our capacity to, you know, do other masculine things, right? That's a feminine trait to be interconnected, and emotions just kind of all be relative to one another. So it's important for us to give our partners the respect to ask them if it's a good time to talk about something. Or if you're in the topic of it already, of course, bring it up. You don't have to ask them for permission to bring something up if you're already talking about it. And when you do this, you really start creating safety. So what I've noticed with my boyfriend, and he listens to these podcast episodes, so hey, honey, if you're listening, what I've noticed with him is that I love to talk about relational stuff and personal development and growth and mindset and all these things, but I can talk forever and ever and ever and ever. And sometimes when we're talking about deep emotional things, when we get to a resolution, I can see it sometimes in his eyes. Like, he's ready. He's done. He's like, cool, we made it. Yay. Like, done. Where us women, we can, like, beat a dead horse and we can keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again. But that's exhausting for us as well, but it's exhausting for a man. What I've also learned in communicating, especially with men, is that when we're able to come fully aware and we're not trying to dissect the emotion with them, we're not trying to just go around in circles and I feel this way and you did this and you did that. We're not bringing them into the chaos. We're bringing them into the emotion. And once you're able to voice the emotion, they're able to be understanding, open, empathetic, compassionate, and then find some resolution together. That's it. That's where it should end, unless you still have some more emotions that you need to explain or talk about. But once there's a resolution, we have to be okay with the resolution, of course. But we have to learn when to drop it as well. Because if we don't, we start not creating a safe place for a man to hear us. Men want solutions. They're leaders. They're goal-oriented. They're solution-based. This is why they always try to fix our problems, even though we just want them to listen to us. And so when we keep beating a dead horse and we keep going around in circles and we're bringing them into all of our emotions and all of our things, they don't feel like they've been successful. They don't feel like they've accomplished anything. They don't feel like they did a good job. And I want to give you this perspective just so you see both sides, because I do get women in my DMs saying, well, how can I communicate this to him? How can I make him feel loved? How can I make him feel cared for? How can I make him feel safe? We all have the same needs, but just they need to be fulfilled in different ways. So in order for a man to give you that space emotionally, he needs to feel safe enough to know that, one, you're not going to come to him with explosive emotions of you did this, you did that, and you're an asshole, and I can't believe this. You're not going to be yelling. You're not going to be emotionally reactive. And you're also not going to suck him into your emotional whirlwind. So now he knows that anytime you come to him with an emotion, there's vulnerability, there's connection, and resolution. These are three essential things in all our communication with our partners. We want to be vulnerable. We want to be heard and have empathy with one another. And then we want some sort of resolution. And what I mean by resolution is not that the emotion needs to be fixed or he can't make me less angry. He can't say something that's going to make me less angry. But if there was an action, let's say, that he took that made me feel a certain way or it triggers me from the past, he can say, well, you know what? I'll act in this way from now on so that I can avoid making you feel this way. That's a resolution, right? So it's not telling the other person what to do. It's not being controlling. It's not being manipulative. It's not telling them how you want them to act. It's taking responsibility for your side, being vulnerable and open and creating that for each other. And so in turn, what you get as a woman, if you're able to master that emotional regularity, what you get is a partner that's willing and open to love you, listen to your emotions, grow together, and then they will do it too naturally. It's eventually, right? It's not natural for men to talk about their emotions. Most men don't even know what they're feeling. They're more go, go, go reactive, and they're not able to actually slow down enough to know what they're feeling emotionally, especially because they've always been taught to not feel their emotions. Men don't cry, and all these gender roles that have been indoctrinated into their brains. So we end up creating the emotional safety that we need within ourselves and then in the relationship as well. And then they start being vulnerable with us and we get to just be receptive and open to them as well and understand them and give them the same love, compassion, and respect that they're giving us. So that's just more discussing the triggers and your needs. And I also want to talk about communicating your desires. Ladies, this is so important because we as women desire a lot. We are thinkers, we're daydreaming a lot, we're envisioning things. And so if we feel afraid to communicate our desires, our wildest dreams, our big dreams, or the big life we've created in our head with our partners, you'll start growing apart little by little. It won't even happen overnight, but slowly, or you'll start to compromise your desires and live in his reality. And so again, this is for you to have enough discernment to what desires you bring to the table and actually have to do with the relationship, and which ones don't have anything to do with the relationship and the desires are more of your own. And you can let him know those as well, but they don't need, you know, you don't specifically need to tell them every single desire that runs through your brain or every goal or every dream. But when it comes to the relationship specifically, it is important for you to communicate those desires. If you desire to be wine and dined because you love going out on date night, I love that. Big love language for me is if you told me, hey, get ready, we're going to go to dinner. You made reservations. Like, I like that. That makes me feel good. Always keep your desires in the forefront of your relationship and ask him what his are as well. Like, one of my favorite things to do, I just started doing this during date nights, is that we ask each other questions, or we'll come up with like our three favorite best things about each other, or three things that we want to accomplish as a couple, or whatever. I've created like these random questions during date night that just cultivate more connection and more vulnerability and admiration for each other. Think about how busy life gets. How many times you actually tell your partner that you desire them, that you love them, that you admire them, that you're proud of them, that you respect them, or vice versa. How many times do you actually get that from your partner? So when you go on date nights, when you have uninterrupted time together, when you carve out time to be together, make it purposeful. Don't only talk about life and the kids and the bills and, you know, the stresses of life. Make it fun. Make it energetic. Make it spicy, make it exciting, so that you never stop dating each other. But it's a conscious effort, right? Things get dull, people get complacent because they stop trying. And this is true for anything. If you look at any area of your life, if you stop trying at work, if you stop trying in your business, if you stop trying in your relationships, any place you stop trying or you get too comfortable, you get complacent and stagnant, you don't grow, you don't evolve, things start getting dull. And one of my biggest things, and I mean, being in a relationship with me is like, you already know you're going to have a lot of variety, because I cannot just stay in one place too long, and not like physically. I have moved around a lot, but just in an energetic space for too long. My capacity is always growing and evolving, and I translate that into my business, and I translate that into how I show up for you guys, and I translate this into my relationship, in my friendships with my family members, and every single area. So being vulnerable is beautiful, and I want to give you permission, if you're listening to this and maybe you're having hesitation or you don't know how to, it's not going to be easy. It's not sexy. It's uncomfortable at the beginning. You don't even know what you're saying, how you're saying things. I've been practicing this with my boyfriend for the last year almost, and we stumble on our words. We don't know what we're saying sometimes. Sometimes it's not so clear. We know when to take breaks. We know when, you know, the energy is getting a little stuffy, or we're a little too hot-headed or angry or frustrated, and we never want to bring that into our relationship. So analyze yourself in a relationship in the past, if you're not in one now, or how you want to be in the future, and start practicing it now. If you're not in a relationship and you don't have anyone to practice this with, practice it with your friends, practice it with your family members, practice it at work, practice it with people around you. The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, and the more comfortable you're going to get with it. And then you start, what I realize is that you start expanding as a human being so much. Like, the amount of empathy and compassion that I have for myself is so much bigger now that I've been in a relationship with TJ, because I've been able to be so vulnerable. And I've seen parts of myself and shared things with him that I haven't shared with people before. Or I value him and admire him in ways that I've never valued or admired anyone before. And I feel as I'm a different person already. I've opened myself up in my heart and my energy in every single way. I've expanded, and I feel proud of myself. Some of the ways that we can keep our confidence high is by doing new things and proving to ourselves that we can only get better. And even if we fail, or we don't do things perfect, or we don't do them so great, that we can keep trying and we will get better, and analyzing ourselves and continue growing. And so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Before I leave, I do want to remind you guys that I have new ways to work with me. I mentioned it in part one, but I have 90-minute intensives for my ladies. And what this is a 90-minute coaching call with me. But before the coaching call, I send you a questionnaire with details about your past, present, and future. So I know where you've been, I know where you're at, and I know where you want to go. And this is for either my single ladies, my program is called Empower Her. For the single ladies, I have one that's a relationship reset for ladies in relationships or that are married. And then I have a Reclaim You, which is for my ladies that are going through heartbreak or through divorce. And what I do in those 90 minutes is that we get really clear. I help you release and break up with your past attachments, recognize your blind spots, step into your power, remove self-doubt, limiting beliefs. I teach you how to self-validate, gain emotional awareness, gain emotional regulation, and start creating safety within yourself so that you can start showing up and communicating your needs, your desires, and your triggers so that you can show up in healthier ways, so you can get to that more secure attachment style, so that you can become the best version of you. I'm super passionate about this. These 90-minute intensives are for my ladies that have some self-awareness, that have gotten so far, and they're like, I love where I'm at, but I want to get better. I want to see where I'm missing something, where I want to grow, and how to make either my dating life better, my relationship better, or how to heal from this heartbreak better. And I'm here to just help you. And then we come up with a plan. So I give you like a 3-month strategy plan, and then we have follow-up touch-up calls after that. But those 90 minutes are so essential, so crucial. You'll also get the 90-minute recording afterwards along with my plan for you and tools. So I've created and I keep creating more and more tools as a coach. And depending on what you need, I give you access to these tools. Some of them are meditations, emotional freedom technique tappings. There are ways to create more safety, journal prompts, ways to expand your energy and your capacity. So I love what I do and I'm super passionate about it, and I created this so that I can have more ways to even help you guys. If you're interested, the links are in the footnotes along with a discount that's special just for my podcast listeners. And as always, I am so, so grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. I think by the time that this episode has aired, it's been a little over a year since I've had this podcast, and I am so happy and so thrilled to be here every single week and show up for you guys consistently and help you in any way that I can. Please share this episode and leave a review if you feel called to. I appreciate you all, and I'll see you next week.